You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
Enjoy your day. The sun's shining. It'll be about 48, 49 tomorrow. Warmer and nice, so grasp it while you can, because the rain returns for Saturday and mostly Sunday, too. And then more rain next week. So here we are. Maybe we're in the spring showers bring flowers thing, or not. It's only February the 8th. Maybe I'm just hoping against hope that spring is coming.
Well, February showers bring March flowers doesn't have quite the meter to it.
It brings March mud is what it does. So, yeah, I bought I don't buy myself much because I just don't want to. But I bought a new pair of shoes to walk in. And I searched and searched and searched and did it online and made sure that I bought the right ones that were lightweight and not, you know, 8 pounds each. And they were just, you know, really cool, and they're lightweight and they're cushy and all that stuff. And they're kind of a light gray with white. And I should have known better, because, you know, there's a mud puddle or a pile of poop someplace. I will walk in it automatically. So I put these shoes on to go to the gym yesterday, and I walked outside and walked right into one little area of mud. But it turns out that it wipes off. So that was a good thing, and it didn't ruin my day. Sherry's Berries is encouraging you to wrap it up here, because time is running out. Valentine's Day is Wednesday, and the offer they have is pretty sweet. If you do it now, perfectly paired products, well, that's the concept this year, is the berries from Sherry's Berries and Pro Flowers has the flowers, that in combination, and it's marked down 20% off. So how do you beat that? These come together in a very nice package. The strawberries are dipped in chocolate. They're pretty, and they taste good, too. And the flowers are pretty, and they probably shouldn't be eaten. But they come together all in one box to your lady, to your Valentine, wife, girlfriend, whomever, for the big Valentine Day holiday, which is coming up. So go to the website, berries, berries.com. I guarantee you these berries will blow somebody's mind. They're really good. They're always always in a nice box, and they're pretty. We've had them for years. The flowers last for a long time. That's a guarantee from Pro Flowers. Get this perfectly paired combination today and get some money off at a nice rate of 20%, and other gifts over $29. Berries.com. Drake is the code at checkout. It'll be at your house when you want it, or at her house. But do it today before it gets too late. Today's Thursday, so let's knock it out and get this done. Berries.com. And it'll be done, and you'll be happy. I look back over the time I've spent listening to music, which is a lot of years, and in various forms. The first form was, of course, on the radio. And then when you're a kid, you start buying 45s, or we did back in the 30s when I was a kid. And you buy 45s, and you collect those, and they're so precious to you, and they mean so much. Then you get older, and you get money, and you buy albums. And I can remember in Murray, Kentucky, at Chuck's Music Center is where, and Chuck sold guitars and drums. I took drum lessons at that store from Chuck, who knew Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich and all those guys. Long story. They also sold albums for the kids, because Chuck wanted to keep up with the kids, and it was a college town. So that's where you'd go in to buy your albums. What did albums cost back then? $3 or $4. So you'd walk in there, and there is the brand new album by, let's say, Led Zeppelin, and you almost pee your pants, and you buy it. And the Beatles albums. And so you buy all these things, and you have albums, albums, albums. And at some time in your life, you had so many albums, if you moved, you had crates and crates of records, and it was a complete pain in the nuts. But we all went through that. So when I went to, you get into this business, and you play, I guess my first job, it was all 45s. Then it gets into albums. And then you have to keep at the radio station about 10 copies of every album, because they get kind of worn out and they sound scratchy. And you got to, so That was an entirely different time in the world with music and with radio. So I went to Dallas to work in this business in the 80s. And in the control room, which was a really, really dumb idea, and I don't know why they did this, but you had the ability to listen to other stations while you were on the air. You could, pop up during a song. You could punch up the competition.
To see if they're playing, Freebird at the same time you are.
Yes, and to see if they were good or bad, or if you were in trouble because you sucked and they were really good. Well, and at the time in Dallas, Q102 is where I worked, and KZU, K-Z-E-W, was the dominant station. They were really good, and all of their on-air people were just excellent, and I thought, man, I have walked into a disaster. But that wasn't the case. But I could punch it up and listen, which is a mistake, and it makes you insecure immediately and paranoid because they sound good, and then you wonder, man, I suck, and they're so good. So one day, this is probably 81, 82, I turned over there, and they had done this big hype about this new presentation of music. It was something called a compact disc. And we laughed and scoffed and thought, they think they're just so cool. And this is going to be a bomb. It's not going to work. You know, these brand new CDs, my ass. But we hadn't heard nothing about them. That's how hip we were. So they began to play music off of CD. And you really couldn't tell that much difference at first. But we called that one right, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Turns out. In a matter, I guess as long as I worked there, we played albums. And then jobs after that, we also played albums. There were some stations that were slow to pick it up because you had to change everything. And put in compact disc machines and players, and turntables went away, albums went away, and it was a huge change for anybody in this business. And so, how many years have gone by? Well, anyway, now compact discs are obsolete. I have some albums and some boxes somewhere. And some CDs, I guess, or I've either tossed them in the trash or something. But it's hard to believe that all this has gone by and that CDs are, they're pretty much done. I was in Best Buy over Christmas, and they used to sell CDs. And I checked, gone. No CDs. So this story came out today. The only two stores that still carried CDs, Best Buy and Target, are reconsidering their future with this format of music. It'll likely be gone. Best Buy has pretty much cut them out, and they will stop it altogether on July 1st. Target carries a couple CDs these days. They still sell some, but it's just not worth their time and trouble. So Best Buy and Target are the last bastions of the compact disc, and they'll be gone pretty quick. Now, I really don't understand or know if a vinyl is back for real. Is it a trendy retro thing for the kids? What's your take?
I think it's a kind of collector thing for people who are really into music. They'll devote the money and the time to getting a vinyl set up, a record player, and going to find and buy the vinyl. But it's not, I don't think, going to become a common phenomenon like it was back in the day, the 50s, 60s, 70s, and up to the CD. I don't think it's going to become that big just because streaming is so easy.
Yeah. And it's so dominant. Yeah.
Right. People who are not hardcore into their music, which is most people,
right,
are going to be satisfied with streaming.
Yeah. I have a gift from my wife that was very, very, this has been about, it's been about 10 years now, but it was very thoughtful. It's a turntable with a compact disc thing. Mm-hmm. And a cassette player, I think, too, and AM/FM. And so I used it a few times. Then I realized the incredible inconvenience of having to get this thing out, put it on. It's just too much trouble when you can punch a button on your laptop and there's your music.
Right. That's why streaming is so good.
But you see it pop up in TV shows and movies like it's something that is new and groovy. But I wonder if the kids are trying it or if they care or if we'll see. This will not ever come back, in a giant form.
Not like it was.
Just won't, ever. But it is, it's just one more sign of the evolution of, well, everything. Album's gone, now they're kind of back. CDs gone and kind of back. And I guess it has been proven over time, the theory has been disproven, that CDs just sounded so much better. When in fact, as years went on, most people in this business believe that the albums sound much, much more clear and much better.
They're richer because they have...
warmer.
Yeah, they have room for the little bits and pieces that digital just can't do.
Yeah. I mean,
digital can go really, really tight with sound.
But right.
In analog, everything is... There's room between the ones and zeros that analog can fill that digital can't.
Right. Well, that's it. So the CDs, it was fun while it was here. But see you guys.
I still use them, but I don't use the commercial ones. I buy music and get it downloaded. And then I'll put that on CD mixed the way I want it to be mixed for in the car.
Well, I don't ever have any interest or the time to do that. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When all the Beatles CDs were remastered and mixed, I bought a few of those for my truck, and that was cool for about a week, and then I got tired of that. And so I've got some, but not really for any purpose. But anyway, that's just there's buy CDs.
You know what I did? I looked up KZEW.
Yeah.
And I guess this is from last year. It doesn't say the year. It just says March 24th. About them coming back on the air after 28 years.
Wow.
I know.
KZU was a good station, and so was mine, Q102 in Dallas. It was a very, very competitive time in that business, but they were good. And so I guess they went off the air, and so did my old station, because everything changes, and a radio is now pretty much a disaster because corporate brains have ruined it. And not left it to people that know what they're doing to, do it. And in most cases, it's ruined. But luckily, on this show and this station, I've been allowed to pretty much do as we wish and have guests and do different things and not just, follow some, boring kind of model that nobody cares about. Punch around. There's not anything that's overly interesting or challenging anywhere. And I'm not trying to brag about our show, but it ain't dull.
That's for sure.
We make mistakes and we just keep them in and just keep going. And it is kind of like it used to be. And that is something that is not lost on me. And I do not take it for granted at all. Believe me, because most people don't have the chance to do what we do here and have some freedom to talk to people and to say things and to play things. But it seems to work, and I don't understand why other radio stations and people don't understand that. That you just cannot, corral, people into this one approach to everything, and everybody sounds alike, and it's all boring as heck. Anyway, that's my opinion, and I guess we'll be here tomorrow, I hope. I guess we'll find out. So that one, and here's where we are in society now. This is one of the lead stories of the day. Your texting will be getting a lot more complicated this year because there's 157 new emojis on the way. 157 new ones.
Well, all right.
Man, I am jazzed. They are stoked, as we say. The emojis will offer up new hairstyles for men and women. Why? Various skin tones. You better. Brown people and black people come in different shades, y'all. I already have black people, Asian people, white people on my phone, I think, in the style of the emoji. They're going to have bagels, cupcakes, and teddy bears. Also, kangaroos, lobsters, and llamas. Why? There'll be new ones, including a partying face or a woozy face. Yeah, use that one a lot when you're drunk. That'll be really impressive to your parents or your friends.
All my faces are yellow.
I've got one
skin tone. It's Simpsons yellow.
I got brown, black, browner, blacker, high yellow. You know, it's all there.
Wes's phone is older, I think.
Yeah. Well, mine keeps getting... mine's got all kind of weird stuff on it. It has flags on it.
Yeah, I've got the flags.
Why? Mine also has street signs on it. Why? I don't understand anything. The new emojis won't be here till the last half of the year. Damn it. So phone makers can adjust their devices so that they'll display properly. Well, at least our priorities are in order. Good Lord. Your smart TV may not be so smart after all. A new piece from Consumer Reports found that TVs can be hacked into so the hackers know what you're watching. That probably isn't a surprise. Samsung and TCL, Roku, and other channels are hacking into your deal. They can control the volume, install new apps, and play content. Maybe this is why my TV was flipping out upstairs.
Maybe so. Someone was spying on you and knowing when you were in, where you're out.
I don't know.
Taking records, taking notes, and then getting bored and moving on.
Well, but isn't that kind of creepy?
It is. But it's smart devices like that, if it's hooked up to the internet, it has the potential to get hacked.
They say that there's no security risk. I don't know what Roku is.
That's a, that's what I've got. And on mine, since I don't have a smart TV because it's old, it's a stick that plugs into the back of the TV.
Oh.
And that's where the streaming information comes to get onto the TV.
I just passed out. I have no idea what you just said.
It's the thing that takes the audio and video, the TV shows that are streaming into the computer server to the TV, so I can watch.
Okay,
the TV.
This says here at the end of it, to avoid hacking, it says to turn off the TV's automatic content recognition. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's a smart TV thing, I guess.
Well, I ain't that smart. This damn TV is smarter than I am, so we're lost on that deal. What else do I have here? This is also kind of strange. In all my time with Amazon, this popped into my mind last week too. I read something about happiness and about how to, this time of year, everybody's depressed and bummed out and it's cold and life sucks. But one of the keys to being happy all the time is to have something to look forward to.
Anticipation.
Yes. And if it's a vacation or a trip that you have booked for April or May, you know it's coming, so so it's cool. That's why I think that people go online and buy a bunch of stuff, because you know that something's coming via FedEx. Yeah, yeah. So I bought my shoes on Friday, and Amazon Prime would get them here Tuesday. So I woke up and went, yay, I have toys coming today. So I got new shoes, and I was fired up. But Amazon has only messed up one time with me in 15 years. They sent me somebody else's stuff. I got a poster, I swear to God, of Tom Brady, which I did not want.
Nice.
And something about the NHL, either a puck or I don't know what.
It was, sent you a puck.
It was weird. It was somebody else's order.
Here's a poster of Tom Brady, puck you.
Yeah, okay. These people, Mike and Kelly Gallivan, began getting free packages from Amazon last October. Mystery packages. They didn't order them. They just show up. They're trying to get it to stop, and it won't. About once a week, they get something in the mail, some cheap crap like plastic fans or a phone charger. They called Amazon and were told that the items were paid for with a gift card, and there's no name on the sender, part. They have no idea who's doing it. Amazon's trying to find out who is doing this. If it's happening to one person, it surely is happening to others. They speculate that the Gullivans are being used to rig Amazon buyer reviews, with the sender, that no one knows who they are, likely is putting these rave reviews on their own products.
Oh, so that the review comes up as a certified buyer is making this review.
I don't get it.
But Yeah, me either.
Well,
but shouldn't the receiver make the review, not the buyer? Well, no, the buyer, but they aren't being bought.
They're being bought with gift cards.
Right.
So they can't. They have to be shipped someplace.
Yeah.
And so let's say I have a widget. I make a widget that I sell, and I want to have a good review of this widget on Amazon. So I order a bunch of widgets with the gift card that can't be traced, and I have them shipped to places. If I have them shipped to me, Amazon can check that all these widgets that were bought went to me, and the person reviewing it is going to be me. If I have it shipped off to someone else, then they don't know who sent it, but it gets a really positive review on Amazon because I did it. And it's
awfully complicated to get a good review over a cheap plastic widget.
Well, if you're not getting any reviews and you want some reviews, you'll try some things to get them.
I suppose.
And if
but they're baffled and want it to stop.
Well, I don't blame them a bit.
But they surely aren't the only ones, though.
I wouldn't think so. Otherwise, doing that just to get one good review is a waste of effort.
Well, anyway. Fun stories. Here's a summation of the entertainment news, which is it doesn't exist. You likely do not know the name of this actor, or his face. His face you know, his name you don't. Mickey Jones is the guy's name. He was on Justified. As he always played a bad guy. He was this big dude with a long beard, kind of a... He was in so many movies, and I can't think what one would be right now. Red beard, big guy, always played some gruff kind of dude.
Ten Cups, Sling Blade, National Lampoon's Vacation. But I wouldn't know his face. I guess I know his
face. He's been around for a long time, but he passed away. He was on Tool Time a lot. What on that dumb show? He played Rodney Hot Rod Dunham on Justified. I don't know, but the last sentence here is kind of weird. He played drums for Bob Dylan back in the '60s. What? Mickey Jones. Look at his face. Face is pretty well known. This young lady is going to be a star, if I'm not mistaken. Well, she already is. She's 13 years old. Her name is, she's on the show Stranger Things, which Wes has seen. Millie Bobby Brown is her name. She's the girl that plays 11. And when you first see her, you don't know if she's a boy or a girl because her head has been shaved. This young lady is English. She's 13 years old. And she is going to be a huge star. She's very, very good. She's done her own installment of Carpool Karaoke, but not with James Corden. A friend of hers and she were out, and they are doing songs by Nick Jonas, Ginger Douche, Ed Sheeran, and Adele. And you can find this, I suppose, on the YouTube. But she is a doll, and she is a fine, fine actress. At 13 years old, CBS television, unfortunately, is throwing in the towel and getting into reality talent shows. Here we go again. Do we not have enough of this garbage on TV? America has no more talent. It's all been used up. We have The Voice. The Idol in some form is back. America's Got Talent. God, make it stop. CBS, this guy Mark Burnett, who began the majority of this nonsense, is back at it. How many times can the same show be done over and over again? This is called the world's best. And like America's Got No Talent, they'll have different types of performers, oh good, from around the world. That's the only difference. They won't be from this country. Well, we can't have that. That's some damn immigrants. That's just wrong. They didn't announce a host yet, judges, or an on-air date, which means they have time to ditch the entire idea if they wise up. Here's one more piece of pointless information that is nothing but annoying, but a reflection of society and the lack of anything new as far as ideas in entertainment. MTV has announced that the Jersey Shore family vacation will appear and premiere April 5th. Somebody shoot me in the head. The show will have the gang reunite for a vacation in Miami. Well, they will act as moronic and mentally handicapped as they did the first time around. I can't think of one name but that little sleaze, Snooki. Is that right?
I don't know.
Who was that?
I'm proud to say that I've never seen it.
Who was that dill hole with his shirt off, a muscle boy? He was a complete
dick. Yeah, he named himself, had a nickname.
He was a total douche,
too. Dillweed. If there was a reality show called America's Worst and it wasn't singing, it was just people that were just F-ups in life, I might watch that.
Yeah. These people suck. You know, something like that. Yeah. I would watch that, but the rest of it's a joke. If you need something to buy for you and your wife, perhaps, for Valentine's Day, and you want to go big, the Sleep Number bed, the best bed you'll ever have. I've had one for a long time, and we like it very much at my house. My number is 100. The wife is 75. You can change your number as you wish. Little thing you push, and it goes firmer or softer, but it is always soft. And they have a new bed that adjusts as you sleep and puts your number on where it should be to make you the most comfortable. Right now, they're having the ultimate event. You can stop by one of the stores here in the Mid-South, Wolf Chase, Saddle Creek, or in South Haven, and save half off one of their beds right now. Ask which one it is. They will show you. It's a go-buy, and these mattresses, they last for a long time and don't need to be, changed out every 2 or 3 years. People that buy them keep them forever and buy a new one every 10 years if they must. But right now, it's the ultimate event. Stop in. Check out what is marked down half off. That is a giant savings. Plus, they have a queen set right now as low as just under $700. Great savings right now at the best bed you'll ever have, the last bed you'll ever have. The Sleep Number bed, look at it online at the website or go to any of the stores around town. And this is one last note that should be shared. I'm going to save this Quincy Jones stuff because this is just too funny. I think he has lost his mind. Well, I'll just do it now because this will all be old news tomorrow. Quincy gave an interview. I don't know. Let's see. Does it say where this was?
Is this like the same one that he gave where he talked?
Yeah, this is a couple of days old, but they keep putting out little pieces of it. What was it?
There was a long one in GQ that I posted on our site.
Is that what it is?
Hysterical, yeah. and it was funny.
He's 82, I think. I was someplace one time in New York many years ago and met this gentleman, and he was indeed that. He was very, very nice. And so he didn't know me from Adam, and we were at some kind of this thing. And this was back in the 80s when he was at his peak with Michael Jackson and all that stuff. But Quincy has been around way before Michael Jackson. He did his own albums and produced a bunch of other people and was, quite the talent. He's 82 now and, as evidenced by this article, does not care what anybody thinks about what he says. I'm going to have to edit this as I go because, man, he opened up on a bunch of people. He claims he dated Ivanka Trump. I'm not sure. And that was 12 years ago. He'd have been 72 and she'd have been 25. So he's 84. So he said he went out with her and that's about it. He didn't say anything tacky. He shared a bunch of info about Richard Pryor, who was a friend of his, and that Pryor was bisexual and had a little fling with Marlon Brando in the 70s. Hmm. Now, I don't know that anybody ever heard that before, but his ex-wife confirms that story, saying it was the 70s and drugs were still good, enough cocaine and you'd F a radiator and send it flowers in the next morning. That's nice mouth. She added that a Pryor was open about being bisexual with his friends and that she'll be publishing his diaries later on this year. If his kids have any say in this. I doubt that's going to happen. He would F a radiator. Nice mouth. She said also that Marlon Brando would F anything. A mailbox, Richard Pryor, you name it. So Quincy is rolling and does not care. He also goes as far to say that Michael Jackson stole a bunch of the bass line from a song by Donna Summer. I lost that part of it. But that Michael was a bit of a jerk. He didn't give Quincy the credit he deserved, which he did, because he produced that album, Thriller, and it was unique and one of a kind. And it was in great part thanks to Mr. Jones. But he accuses Michael of ripping off parts of songs and all of that stuff, and really gets down and dirty and says some stuff that shows you at 84, he doesn't care anymore. Now, is it true or not? I don't know.
I don't know, but I've got part of that in RollingStone.com, an article, and it says Michael Jackson lifted the riff for his 82 hit Billie Jean from Donna Summer's State of Independence.
Never heard of the song. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
And there was one more that he says that Michael stole, but who knows? And here, just one last note on the issue of health. We discussed this. People get sick. They die from cancer. They die from old age. They die from all kind of stuff. And the older you get, you realize that you can't take your health for granted. Everyone does. But when the day comes when you get sick and something happens, you realize how important it is to take care of yourself and try to avoid, well, cancer and Alzheimer's and things like that that, you know, kill us and our parents. And it's just, you know, part of life. So in the attempt to avoid some of that stuff, we eat healthier if we're smart. And I take, I don't know how many different kinds of things every day, these ongoing supplements like green tea and beetroot and zinc and more vitamin C and turmeric and garlic and cinnamon and various things that allegedly help your blood and help your heart and help, you know, all these things. They may work, they may not, but it does make me feel better, and so I'll keep doing it. On occasion, about once a year, there will be a story out about this, you know, brand new drug they've found that will cure and stop all kinds of cancer. And then that story goes away and is never heard of because the FDA hasn't approved the drug and likely would not. The theory behind that being that if cancer were cured, a lot more people wouldn't die, and that would be bad. We'd have too many people. That sounds, that's a pretty odd way to approach it and very cynical, but possibly true. It's hard to imagine that in this day and time that somebody hasn't found a cure or a deterrent to all kinds of cancer, or at least, you know, some kinds. They've made some inroads, but you still wonder what could be done. This story here is pretty interesting. It is in a journal called Nature. Don't know a thing about it.
We've quoted them before with stories.
Okay. This to me sounds, and it's also quoted in The Guardian and other, they quote various sources here, among them the BBC. This new study published in many places links this, it's pronounced, I guess, asparagine. It's an amino acid found in many foods, asparagus, beef, chicken, nuts, and potatoes, that slows the spread of cancer. It makes it kind of slow down when cancer gets aggressive. Breast cancer is mentioned here especially. They did research on this for years on mice, those poor little things, and the cancer in the mice stopped. They put them on this asparagine.
A low asparagine diet.
Low, yeah.
Right, because asparagine actually is...
intense and potent?
It helps the spread of secondary cancers.
It helps the spread, or it helps to stop the spread?
No, it helps the spread. It feeds the cancer cells something they like. So when they put them on the low asparagine diet, then that's when they had better results.
Oh, Okay. Well, that doesn't make any sense. The body can make its own asparagine, which some cancer cells lack. So they're saying here that too much of it isn't good, but the right amount is?
Well, if what they're saying is if there is cancer, cancer can't make this, some of them. So if your body is rich in that, then that gives the cancer cells more food, and so they're able to spread faster and wider.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Research says that they sharply reduced the cancer's ability to spread in the animals by putting them on the low asparagine diet. The next step will be to replace the mice with real people to see if the diet of this stuff makes the compound get lesser in the body. It's too early to recommend big changes in diet, but the findings are a big step toward fighting cancer using, these certain kinds of food. We're seeing increasing evidence that certain kinds of cancer are addicted to certain components of our diet, this guy goes on in the BBC. So modifying your diet by using various drugs and foods that change how these tumor cells can access these nutrients, they hope to improve the outcome in therapy. This diet helped mice live a lot longer is the point of this whole thing, although it's a little bit confusing.
Right. But the deal is these don't cause cancer.
Right.
But if you've got a cancer in you, then some kinds of cancers feed off this stuff.
Right.
Very well.
I've heard that before, but then why would they suggest that you take it at all?
They're saying that's why they were testing the low aspergine diet to see if that made a difference in the spread of the cancer.
And apparently if you do it right, it does slow it down.
Right.
Okay. Well, be careful. I wonder if vitamin stores have this stuff on the shelves. They likely do. I'm going to look into it and see. But taking it, probably, it's hard to determine how much is good, how much is bad, right?
Well, if you don't have cancer, it's not going to cause it, so you can eat it as you normally would.
Well, there are other theories that if you're taking certain kind of things, that they do encourage the growth of cancer.
Right.
And you know, if you have a bad prostate that is getting cancerous and you do certain things, it makes it get more cancerous faster.
Right.
So this theory is not new.
Right. But this one is narrowly focused on this chemical and what it does once you have cancer.
Interesting concept. Well, it's on this thing, Nature. We will find the piece and put it up, and you can find out for yourself and make your own decisions. We'll put it up on the Facebook page, which is Drake in the Morning, and the website is also up there at drakeinthemorning.com. So you can go there and find out more about this and the stories of the day and dumbasses. And Wes puts up fun pictures. There's book picks. The songs I play every day, the 5:45 theme in the morning is fun. And so you can do all that and enjoy it. Dumbasses of the day are coming up in just a few moments.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.